Who had the questions and who wants to? There were two people who said, would you answer more questions? But I forgot who they were, so go ahead.
Yes. I wondered, in your research into different kinds of healing in the Christian tradition, did you also look into healing under different religious traditions?
Yeah.
Like Buddhism?
Yeah, I don't have a really good explanation for it, but there's Buddhist healing, there's shaman healing. I don't just believe in it, I've seen it. Sort of like infant baptism. I don't just believe in it, I've actually seen it. And so I have seen people get healed without invoking Jesus. The answer to your question, yeah. If you want my theory on that, it would take a couple hours. So I won't get into that. But I have seen sure enough healing. Sometimes the shaman healing comes with a hook. You pay for it. If you want to be really simple, in my experience, my observation, and I do this like all over, like in Latin America and Africa, and so I have observed a lot of different, you know, and people say, well, what, you know, if Jesus is the healer, then how come this works? And like I say, I have a long drawn out question. It would even be more convoluted than what, and complicated than anything that I've said so far. Shaman healing, in my experience, always came with a hook. It's like dark healing from something that we would consider dark usually is a trade. You know, you pay something for it. You end up paying something for it. And the most obvious thing is shamanistic healing, that the trade-off is that some kind of demonic static attaches itself to you. That isn't always the case, but I've certainly seen that. Here's the thing to remember, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will not sell you anything, will not trade you anything, will not barter with you. You can take it for free, no strings attached, or else go look somewhere else. And all the other healings that I have seen cost something. That's just been my experience. I don't know everything about everything, but that's what I've seen. And all I know is that Jesus' healing is free for nothing. No strings attached. You don't owe him anything. He won't take any payment, and he won't attach any cookie to your computer. Anybody else?
Have I raised the dead?
Not yet today, no. I haven't. I've talked to people who claim to have seen it, and until I see it, I'm remaining skeptical. But the answer to your question is no, I haven't. Although I have prayed for dead people too. As you know, people who died too young, didn't work, but I tried. So I believe it's possible, you know. And I wouldn't be... I'd be really happy if it ever... I hope it happens, yeah.
I wasn't here for the first session, but you, when Paul talks about the thorn in his side,
yeah.
Do you think that's a physical thing or a...
I know that it isn't. I know that it's persecution.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I tried to explain that a little bit earlier today. In the context of 2 Corinthians... He's talking about his persecution, and a messenger from Satan came, and thorn in the flesh, like I said, is an idiomatic saying which means persecution. Yeah, that's the Old Testament background to it, and that's what Paul, and Paul being an Old Testament, what we would call, well, he's a Torah scholar, he would be familiar with that, and so that idiomatic saying is the equivalent to pain in the neck, or pain somewhere else. Okay, so let's go ahead with this. So far, you've blessed the people that come forward. I bless you with openness and freedom to receive all that you know Jesus has for you. I bless you to relax and to allow the wholeness, the fullness, the completeness of Jesus to to express itself through your body, through healing, and then you talk to people. Where does it hurt? How long has it hurt? What's the problem? Has anything happened when people have prayed for you before? Chitty chat. How's your mother? How's your kids? Listen to the spirit. Watch their body language. Lean forward. Smile. Be engaged. Love them. And now you're ahead. And so the worst thing that can happen when you pray for people is, see, I'll just say this again, that a lot of people are nervous and scared to pray for people because they're afraid that nothing will happen. Let me assure you, often nothing will happen. So get over that. But if you don't pray for people because something might not happen, then nothing ever will happen. So get over that. And know this, that if you smile, you look into their eyes, and you actively listen to their story, they can't tell the difference between that and being loved. And they're already ahead. You've already won. It's already a plus. Now there's a good chance that they also might get healed or substantially improved. So you interview them, you're paying attention, all that. You decide at what level you're going to pray. Are you going to do this inner healing thing? Is there a demonic problem? Or is it just plain old injury needs physical healing? And so you approach it. On that level. So you pray for effect. You put up. You know, it's time to put up, and you pray for something to happen, like we did with pain earlier today, and. You know, all but one person reported either a cessation, complete cessation of pain, or an improvement. That's what you do. You ask for something. It's not like, and you pray specifically. You know, there's a difference between, oh God, bless everybody in the world. Really, amen. That's going to cover the person in front of you. It just won't do any good. But if you lay your hand on the third metatarsal and pray for it to finally be healed of its, you know, it's a stress fracture or whatever. There's a difference between that, because it's specific. Now, I don't know what the deal is with specific words and prayers, but they just work better. You know, bless everybody in the whole world really covers the person with the stress fracture. But it won't do anything. But if you lay your hand on it and pray specifically for that, it's likely to. And my guess is that God has given us words to use as healing weapons. The more precise our theology, the better and the smarter we think, the more precise our prayers, the more focused, the more likely they are to be effective. Now that might sound crazy to you, but that's the best I can do. And I think it's because we're made in the image of God. We're speakers. When God created the earth in Genesis, he didn't say, let there be stuff. Just let there be random stuff. He said, let there be dry land and water and, you know, lights in the firmament. Pardon? Lights in the firmament, and let there be this and that and the other, and let's have some winged things and some thin things and people, you know, things to grow in the earth, and let us make man and woman in our image. He was very specific with his words. He spoke and things happen. When we pray, sometimes we speak and things happen. And that's because we're participating with the dynamic, historical, effective life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the delivery mechanism is the Spirit. The delivery personality is the Spirit. So that's what it means, praying in the Spirit. So anyway, you pray for effect, you pray for something to happen. Then you assess the results. It's very often a process. You know, if a little healing, like my arthritic back started to get healed, and so I had John Wimber and John White and my wife pray for me 5 minutes a day for the next 6 months, and finally it was healed. No more arthritis in my lumbar spine. And her womb was healed. Every time we prayed for her, her uterus drew up a little bit more. So very often it's a process. That's my experience. There are people who want to say, no, it's go for the crisis, you know, be healed all at once. I'm all for that too. It's just not been my experience very often. sometimes, but not very often. So if a little bit of healing works, don't be discouraged. It just means that more healing will work more, as a rule. Let me put this all together, and we'll talk about post-prayer counsel in a minute, but which is the fifth step. There's a story that kind of brings all this together. A church that I planted in Vancouver, Canada, years ago, about 20 years ago, a friend of mine named Terry, we'd been street evangelists together, he showed up one day. He was anti-charismatic, and so he didn't like the whole thing that I'd gone, you know, into healing and deliverance, and he was nervous about that. So he didn't come to the church that I was a pastor of. But I saw him standing at the back one Sunday morning after the service. And I'm up front, I'm praying for people, and I finish him. And so I walk back and I say, Terry, what's up? And he says, well, I've been to the doctor and I'm pretty sick. I said, what's the problem? He says, well, I got really, really bad emphysema. It's on my right side. It hurts all the time. And went in, got x-rays, and I got emphysema. And I said, so do you want me to do something about it? And he says, well, yeah, you know, I don't really believe in this, but I'm kind of desperate. Would you pray for me? So I turn him sideways. Remember I told you, pray specifically, pray for something to happen. I turn him sideways. I put my left hand on his back and put my right hand on his front and, you know, his lung, you know, I prayed for that lung to be healed. And nothing happened. You know, he didn't get all warm and tingly or sweaty or shaking or anything. I said, anything happen? He says, I don't know, I don't think so. And so then he left. He came back the next Sunday. And he was at the back, and he was kind of expressionless, kind of deadpan. And I walked back. I said, T, what's up? What happened at the doctor? He had to go to the doctor that week sometime. I forget. And he says, well, when you prayed for me, nothing happened. But later on that night, my chest, right side of my chest, stopped hurting. And what I realized was that it hurt so much that it masked the pain on my left side. And so I had the x-rays, and the doctor says, well, it was worse on the right side, and it's gone now. But there's still some on the left side. I don't know how that works. I'm not a doctor. So I said, well, look, let's pray again, right? He said, yeah, go ahead and pray again. So I turned around, just reversed it, and prayed for that, you know, prayed for that lung. Again, nothing happened. He didn't feel anything. Later on that night, the pain goes away. That week, he goes in, talks to the doctor, gets an x-ray. It's clear. Okay, this is what he tells me, right? I have no reason to doubt him. So he tells me, well, it's clear. And I said, wow, that's great. He says, yeah, that's great. Now, I have some questions at this point. I got some questions. I'm right here and I'm praying for this lung. Why not a twofer? Why not, while you're at it, Holy Spirit, just heal the other lung as well? Why wouldn't you do that? And the only thing that I got when I asked was, you have not because you asked not. You asked for the right lung to be healed. Now, I know that sounds crazy. I'm just reporting what actually happened. And I'm thinking, what? Yeah, nothing happens unless you pray, and you prayed for this, and we did this, and so that was that. It's like Wayland and the precancerous mole, remember? It's like, you know, God's watching me go around the world shooting my mouth off about prayer. Never think to pray for my kid, right? Never think to pray for my kid. All I can think of is surgery and the effects of general anesthetic. And God's, you know, just waiting. Could have healed him any time. Not going to do it till I pray. Okay, you finally prayed? All right, there you go. Anyway, I'm just giving you my experience. And so anyway, the Terry story isn't over. So 6 months later, I don't see him. It's just, yeah, thanks for praying for me, bye. And 6 months later, he's back, he's standing at the back, you know, kind of deadpan, kind of down, and I go back and I say, so Terry, what's up? And he says, I'm sick again, got emphysema on both sides again. And I said, what? You mean you lost your healing? So I'm all confused at this point. I don't, you know, I'm ready to have a little, you know, mini breakdown, a little crisis. And I said, what's up with that? He says, well, I never quit smoking. Okay. I said, well, anyway, to make a long story short, here's a guy who has experienced twice the sure enough power, miraculous power of God for healing. He's experienced it. He knows what he knows how he got sick. He knows what's going to kill him, and he can't stop. He can't stop. He can't give up nicotine. What would be your guess, maybe? In addition to lack of discipline and character, what else might be going on? A demonic thing, you know, a creature thing. So anyway, make a long story short, that was my guess. And if he didn't believe in healing, he really didn't believe in this. But anyway, one thing led to another, and we dealt with demonic attachment that somehow gave a power assist to his nicotine addiction and got rid of it, and then repeated the same thing, prayed for him, you know, both sides, healed, went to the doctor. He's fine. And, you know, 10 years later, he's still fine. He's healed, and he doesn't smoke. So, anyway, that kind of puts all those stages together. You pray at different levels. We're really complicated. Bruce can talk much more expertly about how complicated and intricate we are and how everything's connected to everything and how, you know, diseases might have something to do that you don't even remember that happened to you when you were 2 years old. I mean, we're really complicated and interesting people. Anyway, the fifth thing is post-prayer counsel. It sounds kind of stuffy, but you know, you pray for people, and it might be as simple as go and smoke no more. Or it might be if something happened, but not a lot. Very often I've told people, go home and come back in a week, and between now and then, read the Gospel of Mark over and over and over again. Read it through from beginning to end at least once a day. And see who Jesus is. Gain some confidence in Jesus and his character and his willingness to actually do something, and then come back. Often do that. Often, I'm a big nutrition guy. I studied it a lot because I want to try to solve some of my problems. And what your grandmother told you, maybe not your mother, but what your grandmother told you is that your diet has a whole lot to do with, you know, just has a whole lot to do with your physical health. Who knew, right? And eating a lot of fruits and vegetables is really a big thing. I've had medical researchers say that a lot of cancers are just a fruit and vegetable deficiency. People just don't eat enough fruit and vegetables. And so eating right, exercising, just really takes care of a whole lot of potential physical problems. And so sometimes when people get healed, I tell them, you know, in addition to this, clean up your diet and move more. And so anyway, there's David Goss is hosting a thing, a talk on Monday night, I think, that I'll be giving on fruits and vegetables, the efficacy of fruits and vegetables. And a product that really delivers added fruit and vegetables. I've started taking it 10 years ago, and I don't get cold and flu anymore. It didn't do much for depression or energy, but I don't get cold or flu anymore. It's not a magic thing, but whether it's the Cancer Association or it's the, you know, Medical Association or, you know, breast cancer, they're all saying eat 7 to 10 helpings of fresh fruits and vegetables a day, and nobody does. And this is a way that you can supplement that. So move, if there's, as we talked about earlier, forgiveness. There's always, you know, very often when people are healed, especially internally, somebody gets forgiven. So maybe the post-prayer council will have something to do with that. Maybe it will have something to do with stress illnesses have to do with the need for some kind of inner healing or counseling. So go get you some counseling, get some cognitive therapy. Learn to think more clearly. There's any number of things. The world is just full, especially in Australia. The world is full of all kinds of therapies and procedures and whatnot and what all that are designed to make us healthier and better. And some of them are worth following up on. So post-prayer counsel might be that. But my basic thing is eat better, get more exercise. Eat better, get more exercise. That's good advice for everybody who has a body. So anyway, if you've been taking notes, like I say, I don't use this model, but it gives people a place to start, a place to stop, something to do in between. It doesn't leave them kind of without something to do. Nothing's going to happen unless the Holy Spirit empowers it. This just is like the tracks that the train can run on. And like I say, I don't use it, and you might outgrow it real quickly, but it's a good place to start. So let's do this. Let's you and me and everybody pray for people who want to be prayed for. So why don't we have people who want to be prayed for any reason, just to come up front here. And kind of spread out, and face me. Who's got the mysterious lump on your body somewhere? It's bothering you. Somebody have a... I'm almost sure that that's somebody. Anyway, that's just kind of a random thing. So you face in this direction. Okay, we got more people up here than we have back there. So here's what we're going to do. Would you guys get off in twos? Here. Lady in the black. Get with the lady in the green. And just stand together in twos. You're in twos. Just move over just a little bit. A little separation. Two, 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 two. Perfectly. Okay, spread out a little bit. Okay, now everybody else out there... You got to spread out. You got to spread out, so you're in little clumps of two. You'll see what the administration of this is the most tricky part. The healing part is easy. It's just getting people organized that's difficult. Okay, everybody else out there that wants to pray for somebody, come up and join one of these two groups. Okay. Let's have a third person with each of these pairs. Let's get a third person with each of these pairs. Okay, there's two people in these pairs that want to be prayed for. So just take turns telling your story and take maybe about 5 minutes at the most to tell your story, get the information, bless them. And start praying, and then just go through the drill. Ask them, how's it going? Or do you feel anything? Very often when I'm praying for people, I said, do you feel anything? Are you seeing anything? Are you sensing anything? Make it a relational thing. Make it a two-way. Get them involved. Invite them to be involved in the process. Okay? Invite them to be involved in the process. And ask them for their advice and their feedback. Make it a back and forth. It's not just a one-way power thing, okay? And the person that has come up to join you, or the two people that have come up to join the pairs, you just support, you just pray for both of them. So you pray for one person for maybe 5-10 minutes, and then pray for the other person 5-10 minutes, and then we'll report back and see how we're going. But let me pray for all of us before we start. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, intensify the healing virtue of Jesus in us and between us. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you make real to us the wholeness, the health, the vitality of Jesus within us and between us. I pray, come, Holy Spirit, and take the things that are of Christ and reveal them to us. Make them known and experienced in us. I ask for more of your power to be released and experienced by us. I pray that the power that fires the suns would be shared with us, and we'd have a share of that here today. And I bless you all with an openness to receive and to give the life and light of Jesus. So go ahead. Just, you can go as long as you want, but take at least like 10 minutes for each person.